everybody. I'm Mac.
And I'm Gabe.
And today we're going to be reviewing Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is a 1990 movie directed by Martin Scorsese, and it follows Henry Hill as he begins his life of being a gangster, and eventually everything hits the fan. Mac, the phrase used throughout this entire movie is, for as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a career goal like that? Was it like reviewing movies on OTN? Was that it for you?
Oh, yeah. I always knew. It's kind of relatable in that you have like these childhood aspirations, but hopefully not in that way where you want to be a gangster. But it's kind of interesting to see, it's a good character study for Henry Hill and that he has this goal and you see the consequences of that throughout the film.
Yeah. Honestly, the first time I saw this movie, I was like, man, I think I would be a really good gangster. And then you tell your parents that and you write it in school and you get grounded. That is one of the big criticisms towards this movie. This movie, you know, makes being a gangster, makes being a career criminal cool.
Like glorifying
crime?
Yes,
it glorifies crime.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start by addressing that. Do you think that's true?
No. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me why.
Listen, I studied, you know, the mafia in this way because it's a subject that makes me curious, you know, mm-hmm. living in New Jersey and stuff like that. That life is supposed to be full of, like, riches and full of all this, like, you know, debauchery and everything that's shown in the film. But at the end of the day, I think the film does a pretty good job at showing the consequences of living that lifestyle. Like, I'm going to give a spoiler here. Henry Hill at the end has nothing. He says that he is a nobody and he yearns for the life he used to live or could have had.
Yeah. I mean, even a better example, mm-hmm. Joe Pesci.
Exactly.
You know, he gets whacked, as they say, in the mob that you and I would do well in. This is an iconic movie because of its fantastic performances and the fantastic directing. Which one do you want to hit on first?
Let's start with the performances.
Okay. I got to start
with Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta, who should have won the Oscar for Best Actor this year. Yeah. It is a travesty that he did not win.
This is his, like, career-defining performance.
Yes.
And he's been in a lot of good movies, but he leads this through a cast that's, like, you know, that gives him a lot of leeway. You know, he has Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco. But he, like, spearheads this operation so well.
Yeah, I think what works so well for Ray Liotta's Henry Hill is he starts with this, like, childlike innocence. Like, even when he is a young adult and mm-hmm. there's the iconic Copacabana scene.
Yeah.
And you see, he just wants to impress a girl. Like, mm-hmm. that's all he wants to do, which is a really, like, young adult thing. And mm-hmm. then as he descends into drug running and assassinations and covering up murders, he loses his mind. And there's the oft-criticized helicopter sequence where he is going into deep paranoia. And we can discuss that because that's a really divisive scene. But you see this guy lose his mind. It honestly, and maybe it's because they're both gangster scenes that makes him so comparable. It's like the change in Tony Soprano from season one to the end, or the change in Walter White from season one to the end. This person who starts off so innocent, and at the end, they're truly a monster.
Yeah, there's always these, like, kind of incidents that cause them to, like, lose less and less themselves. In my opinion, I think it's the Billy Bats scene on the club. That's sort of where he starts to see this negative side of his friend, and then he sees a lot more of the ugly sides of the mafia, obviously, as it continues, and he grapples with addiction, imprisonment, losing his family.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so next, speaking of his friend, we got to talk about Joe Pesci.
Won an Oscar for the movie.
Yeah, won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. First question, is Joe Pesci the best cusser in all of movies? Nobody swears quite like Joe Pesci.
Him or Mark Wahlberg.
That's true. They're both fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely deserve the Oscar. And I feel like a lot of his lines were just ad-libbed.
Yeah.
Like, it's a brilliant script, but he knew what to do with it.
Exactly. And a lot of it is just Pesci relating from his life. There's a very famous story where when he was a waiter, asked or told a gangster that the gangster was funny. And mm-hmm. that is where I'm funny? I'm funny to you? Funny how? That is an iconic, terrifying scene came from. And you can tell it's based on his real lived experiences because he delivers it perfectly.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Speaking of terror, mm-hmm. finally you have Robert De Niro in this movie. He wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I do think Pesci is better than him in this. I do think De Niro should have been nominated. De Niro in this movie kind of goes on another additional journey separate from Henry Hill, where he's already a bad guy, but he gets even worse because of, like, the heist he's committing. He's just a greedy man.
Yeah.
He will do anything to protect that money. There is a scene where Henry Hill says that he knows that Robert De Niro's character is going to whack somebody. Mm-hmm. And it cuts to this, like, close-up shot of De Niro as he's smoking a cigarette. And his eyes are, like, flicking back and forth. And you can tell it's he's looking at witnesses. Is anyone going to say that he's about to kill this guy? Mm-hmm. It's fantastic, and it's so subtle. But he also knows how to overact. Robert De Niro is often accused of being an overactor, mm-hmm. not quite the level of Al Pacino. But there is the scene when he hears that Joe Pesci is dead, and he's in the phone booth, and he's
and he
destroys
starts, and he
the phone
knocks
booth.
The phone booth over, yeah.
Yeah. Fun fact, they can only do that scene one time because Robert De Niro legitimately broke that phone booth.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
That's
he still
funny.
Has that Raging Bull strength.
Exactly.
Okay, so. Talking about the directing, Martin Scorsese.
Yeah.
I need to ask you, is this your favorite Scorsese movie?
It's up there. You know, Scorsese, I mentioned this only the other day. The first Scorsese movie I ever watched was Hugo. Like, okay. That's what kind of got me introduced to it as a younger kid. And then probably, like, Wolf of Wall Street from there. Then I started getting into this stuff. This movie, I think, captured me the most with, like, the plot and all these, you know, all these elements in it. And it's a true work of genius, I think, behind it.
Yeah. My first exposure to Scorsese was Shark Tale in 2003,
okay.
where he plays the pufferfish.
Yep.
And, like, that is Martin Scorsese, so fun fact. Mm-hmm. But then, like, when you go back and dig through his filmography, you find that this man is the master of genre.
Yep.
You know, he nails the gangster epics and Goodfellas, Casino, Irishman. You have mm-hmm. Raging Bull, which is a really interesting character piece. Taxi Driver, that is, like, a seminal piece of cinema. But
Wolf,
he also can
Wolf
do
Wall Street.
Exactly, like biopics like Wolf of Wall Street, psychological horror like Shutter Island. I'm sorry, I'm being a nerd about Martin Scorsese because he's one
I
of my favorite
him,
directors. I'm sorry for nerding out, but let's talk about his directing in this movie.
Yes.
I want to start with the Copacabana scene. Maybe of the best directing ever.
One long shot where, you know, you have Ray Liotta's voiceover introducing everybody. I love that.
Exactly.
It's one shot.
And, like, we are brought in and seduced into this world of crime the same way that Lorraine Bracco's character, and we should talk about her. You know,
yes.
She became famous for being Dr. Melfi in Sopranos after this. She does a really good job. And, like, Ray Liotta is a very charismatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, kind of does it too much in Copland compared to this.
Yeah.
She does a good job of not being blown off screen by him. And I think that's really admirable.
Yeah. And just, like, a fun fact, that's she was offered the part of Tony's wife in The Sopranos. The reason she didn't want to play that is because she thought it was too similar to this role.
Mac, we were just bringing many fun facts.
Yeah,
we were just fun fact
challenge.
Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Also, another actor I want to mention is Paul Sorvino.
Yes.
Absolutely
Pauly.
Kills it in this movie.
Yeah. No movie scene makes me hungrier than Pauly cutting the garlic with the razor blade. Every time I watched it, I'm like, I should go get some Italian food.
One of the more underrated and powerful scenes is when Henry Hill is begging for forgiveness for Pauly for lying to him about his involvement with the drug trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, you made me look like a jerk. We have to part ways.
Yeah. And he, like, gives him the money and sends him on his way. It's fantastic. And a lot of the parts of this movie that really shine are because of the screenplay. It's written by Nicholas Pileggi, who wrote the novel that this is based on. And
right.
Scorsese actually helped write this. Scorsese, New York man for his entire life, has been exposed to a lot of this stuff. Pileggi lived in Long Island, right near to movie critic Sean Fennessy. So
mm-hmm.
this is one of Fennessy's favorite movies. And you can really tell their experiences in this underworld affected how they created this movie. Do you notice that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it reflected kind of the time period when they started, like, getting their career in, like, you know, early 60s, like, or early 70s.
Yeah.
So you could tell that, you know, they, I don't want to say based their experience off of them, because hopefully they didn't experience anything like this, but they knew a little bit about when they were talking about.
Yeah, there definitely is some authenticity in this movie. These are tough guys who lived a bad life and did bad things, but they
mm-hmm.
still managed to be complex characters. And I think that's really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to add?
I was going to say, I think that mafia movies are very hard to make.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them get criticism for, you know, not getting right how the mafia works. My second favorite mob movie is probably A Bronx Tale. And
okay.
not because of how the mafia works, just because of the performance of Chaz Palminteri, right?
Yeah.
So.
And that one was written and directed by Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Before we go, we're doing this to get ready for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
So I gotta
ask. Which we're seeing
tomorrow. Me and you, we're gonna hold hands in the movie theater.
Exactly.
It's gonna be fantastic. We'll have already seen it by the time this video comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to ask you.
Yes.
Do you think that movie is gonna win any sort of acting Academy Awards? Like, is De Niro gonna finally get his best supporting actor?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Leonardo DiCaprio will get nominated for sure. I think that Lily Gladstone is in the running for Best Actress, but she, you know, she's got a tough competition with Emma Stone. Robert De Niro has a tough competition with Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo. I think Jesse Plemons can maybe be in the mix for this one. So, yeah.
All right. Mac, I got to ask you. Yep. Goodfellas, 1 to 10, what are you giving it? Do we have the same score here?
I've never done this before.
All right, so we'll say it 3, 2, 1. It's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's a 10.
Goodfellas is just a perfect movie, and I love it. I just rewatched it 2 weeks ago, and I'm probably going to rewatch it tonight after this review.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time.